Well, let me summarize today's program, see what I learned and what perhaps you learned as well. The first guest, Michael Collins Dunn, who has a long background in intelligence and political and security intelligence in the Middle East, I kept pressing him about what seems to me to be the only thing that makes any sense about this intervention in Libya, which is that the real subtext is that the plan is to get rid of Gaddafi and his family, and that way they can prevent a civil war. Otherwise, it will be a very unsatisfactory stalemate with the East controlled by the rebels and the West controlled by Gaddafi and his clan, with the oil stuck in the middle, and the endless no-fly zone could go on even longer than the one in northern Iraq. So I guess the consensus is that it probably is what's really going on. But on the other hand, Michael Collins Dunn pointed out that no means as a guarantee that they'd ever get him. Look what happened with Saddam Hussein. They threw every damn thing but the kitchen sink at him, and eventually they found him living in a hole somewhere. In the meantime, they destroyed all kinds of buildings and probably killed all kinds of people as well. So it's not easy, and I asked him further about whether or not we could count on a fissure within the ranks of the inner circle. He felt that that was out of the question because it's all tribe and family that are surrounding him. But he did believe that the military, what's left of the professional military, have to be given pause about the kind of situation that Gaddafi's got them into in terms of killing their own people and bringing in the bombers from NATO. And they probably lost a lot of their equipment as a result. So there is some possibility there, but it's quite possible that this is on the surface is what it's about. This is a last-minute humanitarian intervention that was done by people who were haunted by what happened in Rwanda and felt that they couldn't stand by and watch a civilian population slaughtered and had to do something. That's the narrative that we hear from Susan Rice, the UN rep, and Samantha Power on the National Security Council, who wrote a book about the U.S. standing by and watching the genocide. So there's some evidence that that was the real reason. But militarily, it's hard to believe that the president and the joint chiefs and everybody, including Gates, who is the most skeptical of all, would have signed off on this unless they thought that this wouldn't go on forever and that the way to end it would be to end Gaddafi. And so we'll look into that further then. But the other big shoe that's dropped is that Yemen, which is the country that we're counting on to combat al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, it is falling apart at warp speed. The 33-year rule of the dictator, President Saleh, again, we've picked the wrong horse. We backed another despot who is despised by his own people. At this point, Saleh's son, he's the heir that he was grooming, who's in control of the Republican Guards, is sending the tanks around to protect the palaces and the presidential compound. But just across town, the leading general, who was a close friend of President Saleh, who's defected to join the protesters, his armored brigade is also on the other side of town. And the students who thought for a minute when they saw this general's brigade showing up, they thought that he was coming to get them, and they realized he was coming to join them. This is a major, major change, and it looks like there'll either be a civil war in Yemen, and a brutal one at that, with heavy military equipment, at least in this case, not being turned against unarmed civilians, but against the president's Republican Guards. That's a possibility. But it looks like with so many diplomats, ambassadors around the world, even the government newspaper, prominent businessmen have all defected to the opposition. And of course, the tragedy is, as Sheila Karapiko pointed out, is that the United States wasn't realizing and never considered that there was a genuine aspiration for democracy in this country. Again, we missed the democracy movement. Finally, we talked about the Republican jihad against Elizabeth Warren, and the hope is that this time around, the White House will step up and take the side of the people against Wall Street. Again, we can only cross our fingers and hope. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank my producers, Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter, and my associate producer, Samantha Sumong Pong. The theme music is by Los Lobos. You can hear this program, sign up for podcasts, and contact me at ianmasters.com. I'm also writing a daily blog. You can go to ianmasters.com and click on blog. You may leave comments, and I would love to hear from you. I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.